And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a whole lot to get to. It is finally NFL draft week this week. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to the NFL draft. That coming up on Thursday. We are just a few days away from the first round of the NFL draft getting underway. We got a lot to talk about on that front today. David Ubben from The Athletic joining us at 7:30. The Tennessee Volunteers in action over the weekend for their spring game. And word has it, the offense looked pretty good.
You got some Vols excitement going.
Oh, I'm fired up, baby.
You're a little bit hyped.
No, I'm hyped.
You're a little bit hyped. You're hyping, Robbie.
Saw some of those routes on Saturday from the game, and the coverage was outstanding on defense. Looking forward to that, too.
See, you got to take the negative approach.
I'm just saying.
You know, I mean, they did basically miss, like, their entire front seven in that,
they did.
In that game. So
they did.
I don't know what that means. It probably – I mean, I guess that means, okay, so the offense was going to have a field day anyway. But I thought there was some fun stuff to see out there.
There was fun. We like fun.
Fun's good.
And that's not a word I'd use to describe that offense last year. So fun is a step in the right direction. The Rex Rant, speaking of fun, coming up at 7:45. Looking forward to that one. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Very a tough loss on the flag football field, but very uneventful, friendly.
That's good.
Peaceful week there, you know, good sportsmanship. So that was
it's always good.
That was good. You got a Nashville SC draw.
Yep.
Tennessee and Vanderbilt baseball, both with some good series wins. That was actually a really important comeback for Vanderbilt yesterday. Jack Leiter, a little bit struggling here for Vanderbilt. But, you know, Mississippi State-Vanderbilt rivalry is very intense. And the Vanderbilt football players were causing a ruckus behind home plate. But, I saw Mike Epps Saturday.
How'd that go?
It was good. So it was kind of like Mike Epps and Friends. He basically didn't really do a set, which was interesting. But some of the comedians were ridiculously funny.
That's good.
Including, okay, let me see. I asked Port this before the show. Do you remember the show Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, the actor from that, who I haven't seen since Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Mark Russell, was one of the comedians.
Okay.
So he's like this. Yeah, I mean, he's like an older guy. He's like 60 years old. Holy crap, is that guy
pretty funny.
And pretty raw, too.
Okay.
So hey. There you go. But there was a young guy, too, who was I'll Google him. My gosh, he was hilarious.
It sounds like a good weekend.
A rising star comedian, yes.
Ryan Porth, how was your weekend? Did you get any baseball viewing in there? How'd the Cincinnati Reds do this weekend?
I did not bother watching the Reds, mostly because they weren't available to watch here.
That's true.
In Nashville. So it's tough being a Reds fan in Nashville. Watched two sporting events all weekend. Padres-Dodgers on Saturday night and Padres-Dodgers Sunday night.
Hey. Tatis, baby. I tell you what, he's fun to watch.
He is
just
extremely
mashing
fun to watch. Padres-Dodgers is so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
I heard someone say maybe the best, like, April series they've ever seen.
I would say last weekend was better than this weekend, but both weekends were incredibly fun baseball.
Yeah, pretty fun to
it's
watch.
A good rivalry.
And I have to just give a shout-out to Trevor Bauer, who, after his game the other day, you know, Tatis hits a homer off of him. And he's out there doing, like, the Conor McGregor celebration. He's having fun with it. And the first thing I thought when I saw that was, oh, gosh, he's going to get his head taken off later. And Trevor Bauer's like, look, we've got to get out of this mindset as pitchers in Major League Baseball of every time somebody celebrates a home run that you've just got to throw at them the next time. It's soft. I really appreciate it, Trevor Bauer, saying
too.
That. Have a little bit more fun in baseball. Fun is okay. It doesn't have to be 1922 out there every time you're playing baseball.
No, I very much – his whole thing, if anybody hasn't heard it, is really good. And it's like, if you get beat, someone takes you yard, well, guess what? You deserve to take a little bit of crap for it. You know, like, it doesn't have to become immediately go to that stuff. And it didn't used to be that way. It's kind of like a setup for the Rex Rant. But, yeah.
Hey.
Good for you, Trevor Bauer.
Just laying the foundation there for the Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. Joe, we were very interested to see how the Predators were going to respond on Friday night after that gut-wrenching loss on Wednesday. You blow the game in the third period. Chicago storms back and gets it done in overtime. You needed to respond in a big way on Friday, and the Predators did that. They got a 3-1 win against Chicago. They win 7 out of the 8 games in the season series against Chicago. What did you think of the game on Friday night for the Predators? What did you think specifically of the way they responded to the loss on Wednesday?
Huge win. And I'll tell you what, to me, I think especially the second period, that's the best I've seen the Blackhawks play against the Preds all year.
I agree.
Like that, for a while, it was like, wow, they have really got them where they want them. And so, again, it's a UC Saros win to me first, but overall, to hang in there like they did and to ultimately prevail and take over that game and play a lot better, I thought, in the third, that was impressive. Because I think Chicago, I don't think that the Preds suffered from what happened on Wednesday night, but I think the Blackhawks got energized. I mean, they Great. Saved their season, and they brought their absolute best. That's the best they can play, I think. In 5-on-5, it's by far the best they've played against the Preds all year. And for the Preds to still win that game, look, they gotta do better against the top teams here, and they're going to have to do that some down the stretch to get in the playoffs. And the record is vastly different from the other four teams versus the top three teams, right? But I still think this was pretty impressive.
Oh, I agree. I thought it was an impressive win. I mean, Johansson gets the goal. I thought the Cunning goal toward the end of the second period was gigantic because I agree. I thought Chicago was playing well. You get that Cunning goal to go up 2-0, and then I thought the Predators kind of did a better job of taking over the game. After that, Holla makes it 3-0. Hinostroza with a goal. I thought Ekholm was going to save it, and he wasn't able to quite get to it in time. And I guess for a second, you allowed yourself to think, all right, it's 3-1. Are we about to see something very similar to what we happened the other night? But the Predators shut the door after that. Saros, I mean, he was awesome in that game. He made a couple of saves. I know we've talked a lot lately about, you know, him making saves that are not routine, look routine. He made some saves that were not routine in not routine ways.
You could tell.
And were unbelievable. You could absolutely tell. Yeah. They were pretty incredible saves. Yeah. I mean, he was on his A game.
Nah, yeah, he had a couple doozies.
Good thing they started him.
Yeah, I mean, it was close. It was close because, you know, the scouting report. You know, they don't have the scouting report on Pekka. So, you know, Pekka probably gets a shutout Friday. But whatever, John Hines made a mistake, and you know, it didn't pay for it. So, congratulations.
Way to go.
That was sarcasm.
Way to coach him up, John.
Yeah. Tough call. I don't know. What do we do at goal? I don't know, man.
Well, and I thought the Predators were going to get some more help over the weekend from the Red Wings. It was 1-0 on that game on Saturday for the longest time.
And it was 41-6?
41-6 in shots.
I mean, I didn't see a second of that game, but, like, I'm trying to even envision how that happened.
Well, I've got a buddy that works with the Stars, and I was kind of texting him being like, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this. The shots are 41-6, and you're losing 1-0. Stars end up getting it done in overtime. They win 2-1. But the Red Wings, you got one win in regulation out of them. I'm not going to say that it was a good effort from the Red Wings on Saturday to only lose by one because you did get totally dominated. Great job by Jonathan Bernier, though.
Right.
He almost got him.
Amazing. Hey, but overall, we said a week ago, can the Red Wings get one?
And they did.
And they did. So you take that, and you got 7 games left for the Preds. You got 9 games left for the Stars. And you have – I haven't seen any sort of statistical – I mean, it is a harder schedule for the Stars.
It is.
Flat out a harder schedule for the Stars. So, you know, you're talking about Carolina at Tampa Bay here Saturday. So they got 2 Carolinas and a Tampa Bay before they get here Saturday.
Yeah.
Then they go to Florida. They go to Tampa Bay for 2. And, you know, they finish at Chicago, you know, compared to Florida, Dallas, at Columbus, Carolina for the Preds. So 2 games in hand, 2 points back, but that is a brutal schedule. And you know, I think it works out, too, that Florida, you know, gets Carolina, keeps it to where everybody's still in the mix here for the number one. And I think that's important. I mean, to me, if you're any of those three teams, you'd much rather play a Nashville or a Dallas to start.
Agreed. Agreed. And that right now, I mean, it looks like it's going to go down to the wire with not only the fourth spot, but that first spot as well in the division. And our friends at MoneyPuck.com, heading into this week, the Predators have a 60.2% chance of making the playoffs and getting the fourth seed. Dallas is at 38.5%. So that's where the odds stand heading in this week. In Chicago, 1.3% chance. So still alive, according to MoneyPuck.com. But I would say at this point, with that Predators win, Chicago is all but eliminated, at least in my view.
I wish I could give credit for this, and maybe it was Porth, actually. But someone tweeted out that this is only the second time I think the Preds have beat the team seven times in a year.
I think it was Thomas, yeah. Thomas Willis.
Thomas Willis did that? There you go. Good job, Thomas. That's a heck of a stat.
And yeah.
And the other one was Columbus, like in 08 or something like that.
Yeah. They used to have full ownership of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So it's been a while, and you used to play your divisional teams eight times a year, got back to that format this year. And right now, the Predators, 60.2% chance of making the playoffs. The schedule this week for the Stars, you read off, the Blackhawks. You just came off a loss to the Predators. You've got Tampa, Florida twice, Carolina three times, and Dallas twice to end the season. So, for all intents and purposes, Chicago's done.
Yeah. It'd be something else if they were still hanging around at the very end here in a couple weeks.
So, right now, basically a two-team race. I mean, look, I think we all know the game coming up on Saturday between the Predators and the Stars is going to be gigantic. If you can get one of these two at home against Florida and then get that three-day break, you put yourself in a really good position, I think, where you win that game on Saturday, you're going to be in really good shape if you're the Predators moving forward here. Like you, right now, I think the mindset, you just got to get one out of these two against Florida. That's been harder. You know, easier said than done against these top three teams. But if you can get one out of these two, I think you're going to set yourself up to be in good shape as you go into that weekend game.
So is tonight, you said it last week.
Yeah.
Is tonight the last Pekka-Rinne start in Nashville Predators history?
Could be.
I mean, I don't even know if he's starting, but I guess I would give him the first one to give Saros another day.
Maybe. I mean, they may go Saros tonight and then give Pekka tomorrow to give Saros that
super long break.
Yep. I don't know. Like, I don't know how you're going to handle this if you're John Hines. Which one would you go, Pred? Would you go Porth? Would you go? I'd prefer to use the entire team.
Ryan Pred.
Ryan Predator here on the show. Would you go Saros tonight, or would you go Pekka tonight?
No, I would go Saros tonight.
Okay.
And then keep it rolling. Maybe even go back to back with him.
Really?
I mean, you've had 2 days off before, and you have 3 days off after. I mean, you're going for a playoff spot. He's red hot.
So according to Ryan Porth, Pekka-Rinne is done. He's not playing again.
No, I'm gonna say Pekka-Rinne's last start this season will be May 10th.
Okay. So you're saying Predators have it wrapped up at that point?
That the Preds clinch a playoff spot on May 8th against Carolina.
Okay. All right.
The Saturday.
Yeah.
And the Pekka starts the Monday. That'd be a dream scenario for the Preds. Would you do that? Would you play Saros both games here?
Oh, that's tough, man. I think if you win tonight, then I would rest him tomorrow. I mean, you got to rest him at some point, right?
He's getting 2 days off and then three days.
2 days off is not rest.
And then 3 days.
3 days off is rest. 2 days off is not rest.
I'm starting Pekka-Rinne tonight.
Hey?
Like they should have done, you know, the other day,
yeah,
of course.
Yes, you
got to do it tonight.
Yeah, should have done it Friday.
But really, I think then you have 2 3-day breaks, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's a real nice way to set him up for the very end where he's going to play, you know, he's going to play all the rest of the games. He looks great, and I hear you on keeping rolling, but I wouldn't mess around with the back-to-back at this point for a guy who's had so much on his plate and has carried this team so much for now 6 weeks in a row, you know? I think I would go ahead and take advantage of having the best player in franchise history in reserve, ready to come in and chip in for this thing.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Could the Predators get some reinforcements this week in their lineup? And if so, what's that lineup going to look like? We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate giveaway, a Dos Equis prize pack including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Predators taking on the Florida Panthers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. The first of a back-to-back set for the Predators against the Panthers both tonight and tomorrow night. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, we saw the Predators get some reinforcements last week. Ellie Tolvanen comes back into the lineup. He scores in his first game. He has an assist in the game on Friday. And obviously the Predators have missed him on the power play. But maybe they'll get some more good news this week. Philip Forsberg sounds like he's close to a return. David Poile saying last week that maybe it would be sometime this week when Forsberg could be available for the Predators moving forward. We all know how important Forsberg is and what he's meant to this team. My question for you and for the listeners is, if Forsberg is available, whether it's tonight or tomorrow or Saturday for the Predators against whoever, where do you put it? Where does Forsberg go in this lineup? And I'll tell you the way that I've got it laid out here. I like the Tolvin and Johansson Arvidsson line and the way that it is right now. I'm keeping that together. I'm bringing Forsberg back in, and I'm putting him with Granlund and Yarncroke. I'm moving Cunning down with Holland, Duchesne, and I'm not touching that fourth line of Trenton, Sissons, and Janot right now. I'm leaving that together. So that would mean, at the moment, Nick Cousins would be the odd man out in addition to Rocco Grimaldi, who's been out the last couple of games. I would go Tolvanen, Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg, Granlund, and Yarncroke in your top six. Leave Duchesne and Holland together, move Cunning down, and leave that fourth line that's been so good for the Predators with Trenton, Sissons, and Tanner Janot together.
Granlund, Yarncroke, and Cunning have been awfully good.
I know.
I mean, Cunning's...
I mean, I guess you just put Forsberg on fourth line.
Cunning's on, goes. Cunning's on a tear. Forsberg on that fourth line could be fun.
He could, yes.
Yeah, Cunning's on a tear, and Granlund, they got a great... But I think that's the move. I don't have another... Like, I don't really have another good option. You know, I don't have another. I
guess you could stick Forsberg with Duchesne and Holla on the quote-unquote third line and just stick him there and see what happens there. I mean, if you're Eric Holla, you'd love it. You got Matt Duchesne on one side, Philip Forsberg on the other. I mean, looking pretty good if you're Eric Holla out there. That's the other option to me.
You talk about rolling lines and having some equity in your lineup and not overstraining everyone. Yeah. The second line, that's funny because, of course, it's right before there's about to be a change in probably what you just said, but, like, they were really good. They have been really good. And I think Granlund is the key there, but you get Cunning going now, and it's like, do you want to change that
at this moment? Yeah. Look, I mean, honestly, like, I think Granlund's playing so well right now that it doesn't really matter who you put him with. Like, I think that line's going to be pretty good regardless of who you put him with. Now, maybe that does affect Luke Cunningham. Like, I've got much more confidence in Philip Forsberg coming in and making whatever line he's on really, really good. So maybe you do just leave Cunningham alone and keep him with Granlund and Yarncroke and say, all right, let's put Philip Forsberg on with Holla and Duchesne. He's going to make that line really, really good.
That's a heck of a deep lineup, you know.
Yeah.
What about moving Yarncroke? I mean,
moving him where? Moving him down?
Yeah. You know,
I mean, you could. They've done it many times.
Cunning with Granlund.
Yeah.
And Forsberg.
You could do that.
I mean, Yarncroke goes wherever.
He does.
He just does whatever he's told, goes wherever, and plays pretty well.
He does. Look, you could. I mean, you put Yarncroke, I guess, on the right then. Put Duchesne back over to the left. Have Duchesne, Holla, and Yarncroke. It's a pretty good line right there, too. I mean, the good news is if you're John Hines, all these options with the way the team's playing right now, sound pretty good. I just, based on the way they've played, and not only the way they've played, but really the way the coaching staff has spoken about them, it's difficult for me to imagine them breaking up that fourth line right now. Like, I just, I know that may sound crazy to some people. It's the fourth line. But I think they've been that important to this group. I don't think John Hines is going to break that up.
No, I don't think anyone who's watched this team closely could argue with that. Well, I mean, someone would. Would say put Pekka on the fourth line. But Porth laughed at that. thank you, Porth.
No problem. But at least someone laughs at your jokes.
Yes. I mean, I don't think that's even I don't even think you take a half second to think about it. That line has been an absolute difference maker, tone setter for this team, night after night. And it did the same thing the other night.
Yeah.
At times it was like, I mean, Chicago didn't know how to deal with those guys.
It is kind of amazing now. Like, if the momentum's starting to turn around in the game for the other team, my first thought at the moment is, all right, hey, put that fourth line out there. See if you can get things fixed. It's crazy. Like, I don't think it's ever been the case in the history of this franchise. You're like, yeah, put the fourth line out. See if you can turn this game around real quick.
Yeah, I mean, no, not really. They had that third line a few years ago with Watson, Sissons, and help me out.
It was Bonino, wasn't
Bonino,
it?
Bonino.
Yep.
You know, that was like great against Colorado. They've had some, you know, some effectiveness there, but nothing like this that I've seen. It's interesting, too, like, is Olivier get his spot back when he comes back?
I don't know, man.
Tanner's, you know.
Don't you know?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I tell you what. Don't is you know. Don't mess with you know. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's amazing how he's been able to come in. Because that's the thing. That line was doing that stuff, and then you lose an Olivier, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be able to replicate that. Or, actually, you
Maybe
are.
Maybe you will.
Yeah. Maybe even improve on it.
April on Twitter says, leave the second and fourth line alone. You take Arvidsson out, put Forsberg with Tolvanen and Johansson. Arvidsson goes down with Duchesne and Halla. Cousins is out. So saying, moving Forsberg to the first line with Johansson and Tolvanen, move Arvidsson down to the third with Duchesne and Halla. Could do that.
I like the way Johansson and Arvidsson are looking right now, too.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, Arvidsson in general, he's had some bad luck, but he's creating stuff right now. He looks fast.
He's been creative out there. I mean, he's just making plays out there. All right, so I'll throw it out there. How much consideration do you give reuniting Jofa, putting it back together? Like, if you're John Hines, do you consider putting Forsberg with Johansson and Arvidsson, moving Tolvanen down with Duchesne and Hall, and just letting it ride?
I wouldn't do it at this point. I think I want Tolvanen. I like that combo. I want to see that a little bit more. I just think Forsberg's going to help wherever he goes. I think we all agree Cousins is the guy who's out, right? The shocking thing would be if it would be anyone else. I mean, I don't even know who else would be. Who else would even really be on the table?
I don't know, man.
Unless you're going to mess with that fourth line, where there's no way.
I guess there's no way. I mean, I guess right? I guess there's a way, but I just don't understand how you would give that too much consideration. Like, I think it's got to be Cousins.
13 forwards, 5 defensemen. Been saying it.
There you go.
Just get them all out there. Porth, where are you putting Forsberg when he comes back in?
Put him on the fourth line next to Sissons and Trennan.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I would probably ease him in on that third line with Duchesne and Halla. Keep the top two lines together.
Yeah.
And then just see how things shake out in the games to follow.
I mean, look, I like that. I mean, that lineup, because I think Duchesne's playing well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Duchesne, you got to finish that little break you had there. That's right there, Duchesne. It's like, That's what you're getting paid to do,
yep.
To finish that play. But then he does it again. He draws a penalty. I mean, Forsberg, you bring him back with Duchesne. That could be a real nice three threatening lines and then the headbangers.
And then as Kristen on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, points out, Forsberg and Duchesne do have a history of being good together. They do. I mean,
especially at the beginning of last year.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, maybe that's a route you could go. Vince on Twitter says, not only if Forsberg comes back, it helps out the line, but it helps out the power play tremendously. That may be what you're looking forward to the most, is just getting Forsberg and Tolvanen back out there at the same time on the power play. Like, even Tolvanen by himself, you could tell there was a difference. Like, I mean, he commands a lot of attention.
They had one really good power play Friday.
Yeah. I mean, he's
– Tolvanen is – he's crafty on that thing.
He's the driving force, not only the shot, but, I mean, he's making really good decisions with the puck, too. You get Forsberg back out there, and you've got that trio of Forsberg, Tolvanen, and Josi quarterbacking it on the point. You're feeling pretty good about things if you're the Predators. So Look, I don't know when he's going to come back, if it's even going to be this week, but it doesn't sound like he's that far away, and that would obviously be a very welcome addition to the lineup if Forsberg's able to get back in there. So very interested to see where John Hines and the Predators decide to deploy him when the time comes for him to come back. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. We've got our poll question of the day surrounding the Titans. What should the Titans do in the first round? What do you want to see the Titans do in the first round? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, some interesting thoughts here from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Quote, the Falcons have received calls from teams inquiring about possible trades for all-pro wide receiver Julio Jones, sources say. A trade could not happen for cap reasons before June 1st, but teams know Atlanta's brutal cap situation and are calling. A deal won't happen now, but later, maybe so. What do you think of that, of maybe Julio Jones being a trade candidate in Atlanta? Not now, but sometime, you know, after June 1st.
Yeah, I can see it. You know, I mean, I think if you're the Falcons is, look, this is a multi-year situation. I think right now you could get a lot back for Julio Jones. And by the time you get to the point of, you know, really being able to challenge the AFC South, you may be a little long in the tooth. So I don't hate that idea at all from their perspective. And if I'm another team out there, did he say who? I'd be really interested to know who would be willing to give up a lot for Julio Jones. But, you know, there's some teams who could, you know, you get him in a new spot. He still has, I think, some good years left. And you get him in a new place that could be a contender. How about your Green Bay Packers?
Hey,
Jordan Love. Will the Falcons take Jordan Love? There's their quarterback of the future.
Maybe so.
And now you there you go.
Hey,
I just brokered a deal.
There you go.
For your team.
I like it. I mean, Julio Jones is 32 years old. He played in 9 games last year. I mean, he's been, just from having him on my fantasy team a couple of times in the last few years, he's hurt like every week. Now, he doesn't always miss time, but he's hurt all the time. I would be, I guess, cautious of that as you move forward. But, I mean, look, obviously, Julio Jones is a stud. He's been a stud for a long time in this league. How much does he have left in the tank at 32 years old? I don't know, but I agree. Like, from the Falcons' standpoint, I think you have to be realistic about this. With Arthur Smith coming in there, they're not going to just all of a sudden be a Super Bowl threat this year with him coming in their first year. They've got some work to do. That defense is awful. What's the future for Matt Ryan look like? What do you do in the draft coming up this year? I mean, there's a lot of questions that you've got to answer if you're the Falcons. And I think it is true. Like, by the time you're done with all that and you're trying to get yourself back into a place where you're competitive in the NFC, I mean, he's 32 right now. What's he when at the other side of this? 34, 35, 36? I mean, I think there's a good chance he gets traded after June 1st. I'm interested to see what the return would be, though.
Yeah. No, I think it makes sense, and it's a fascinating case for what exactly he would fetch, because it's certainly going, it's going, you know, it's about where you would think at this age, but an 80% Julio Jones playing 12 of 16 games, that could still make a huge difference for the right team.
I mean, he's still really, really productive when he's on the field, and the weird thing about him is, like, the touchdowns haven't really been there the last few years. Like, 2017, he's got 1,500 yards receiving at 3 touchdowns. He had 8 in 2018, which is good. 6 in 2019, 3 last year. I mean, you're talking about a guy that gets, like, 170 targets every year, and you're scoring 3 touchdowns. That's always been really weird with Julio Jones.
Yeah. And I'm, as a someone who's also had him in fantasy many times, that yes, can be very frustrating.
So we'll see what the Falcons end up doing on that front. Joe?
Make him wide receiver 2 behind A.J. Brown.
Oh, wow. Of course, got him coming to the Titans.
Okay. What are you trading away for Julio Jones?
Bag of footballs.
Yeah. That'll the fly.
Friends and family discount with Arthur Smith, getting him back in there.
Right.
There you go. See how that works. I like it, Port. Think it big.
Maybe get Julio and DMPs back.
Yeah. You know? Maybe he's part of the deal.
Hey, if they throw DMPs into the trade, I'll throw in a third-round pick.
Jim Schwartz in a third?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's introduce our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Talking about the NFL draft coming up on Thursday, the Titans scheduled to pick at number 22 in the first round. If these four names are on the board when the Titans are on the clock at 22 on Thursday, which one would you take? Elijah Moore, wide receiver out of Ole Miss. Greg Newsome, who is, if you look at mock drafts, a lot of people have Greg Newsome coming to the Titans, a cornerback. Christian Barmore out of Alabama. Or Azeez Ojulari, the edge rusher out of Georgia. We are very early in the voting process. Right now, 44% say Elijah Moore, wide receiver out of Ole Miss, is who they would select. 27% say Greg Newsome. 21% say Azeez Ojulari. And only 8% so far saying Christian Barmore out of Alabama. What do you think of that? Elijah Moore leading the way so far.
Well, I think of those guys, two of them may not be there. Well, I mean, honestly, three of them may not be there, but I would say the most likely would be Ojulari and Newsome. Ojulari is interesting because all of this stuff is every night on draft night, there's always like a few picks that are like, gosh, no one in the entire world who did a mock draft had that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so there's so many mocks that it becomes like it's like these are the GMs weighing in on the stuff, and it's not. It's just speculation built on more speculation. I mean, look, there's some information that goes into these two, and there's some misinformation. But Ojulari is a guy who on these mocks I've seen all over the place.
Yeah.
I've seen him like threatening top 10, and I've seen him early second. But he may not be there. Newsome, I think, is going to be real close. Now, Elijah Moore, I think, absolutely would be there at 22. And then it's a question of, is he high enough in your big board to go there? Or, obviously, you know, the trade-down scenario works out well with him. But it's interesting that so far Barmore is so far behind. I guess I'm not terribly surprised by that. But I think more people should embrace the idea of a guy like that joining this defense and helping it maybe in a little bit different way than getting another edge guy. And I think you have to get another edge guy too, but another guy up front for the long term and for the short term I think could be really intriguing.
AW on Twitter says Azeez Ojulari is the only right answer here. So saying going edge rusher, getting Azeez Ojulari into the fold, the only right answer here for the Titans. It is interesting, like,
well, if he's there, I don't hate that pick at all.
No. We talked about Azeez Ojulari back when this conversation first started. Now, I realize things have changed. I mean, you brought in Bud Dupree. You made some additions in free agency that maybe free this up a little bit. But it is interesting. Like, you know, the mock draft that y'all came out with at The Athletic, Azeez Ojulari went 11th in that mock draft. I mean, it's really high. I've seen him going that high. I've seen him still being there at 30 when teams are picking. It's very interesting to see kind of the varied opinions on Ojulari.
Well, I mean, Kwity Paye from Michigan is another guy I've seen right around there, and I've seen in the second round. And I feel like there's three edge guys that I think are, and maybe the most unpredictable is Jalen Phillips.
Yep.
Because I think most people would agree he's the most talented. He has the highest ceiling. He could be an absolute game wrecker in the NFL. And he's a guy with multiple injury things that are going to scare some teams off. But all it takes is one team to take him high. But what if he's there at 22? I mean, if I was the Titans, I'd be awfully tempted to look at him, even with the injury situation. And then we don't even talk about Caleb Farley. I feel like most people have just written off Caleb Farley as a fringe first, second-round guy. But most people think he's the most talented corner in the draft. There's a lot of really interesting injury elements to this draft this year.
I did the Pro Football Focus /NFL.com mock draft over the weekend approximately 100 times, including making some trades up for like Kyle Pitts for the Titans.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I also, in one of them, got both Greg Newsome in the first round and then Elijah Moore was still there at 53.
Oh.
What do you think the chances are of that? Probably not very high.
That sounds pretty good.
If that's what you can do, I would advise John Robinson to do that.
Yes, do that. Do that, John. Yeah, what did you have to trade away to go get Kyle Pitts? You got him at what? You traded up to what?
I got him at 6 with the Dolphins. I traded the 22 overall and a first-round pick in 2022. That was it. That's all I gave up.
Gosh.
I mean, the Pro Football Focus Simulator. You could You can get some things done on that thing.
What if people were
legitimately mad about it on Twitter too? They're like, "There's no way that Atlanta is trading away their fourth pick for Kyle Pitts." Okay, I did a Pro Football Focus simulator. It's okay.
What if that could actually happen in real life? What if John Robinson could trade away, just move up from 22 and let next year's first to go get Kyle Pitts?
Hey, it's on the table.
My goodness.
I did the simulator on Saturday, and Kyle Pitts was taken second overall. Zach Wilson's still there at number four when I traded up. What do you do then?
No, that's an interesting thing. So these things are pretty wacky then.
No, they're totally reliable. That's what you've got to do with the Pro Football Focus simulator. If they say it, it's true. We'll continue the discussion on the draft when we come back. Got some of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on Thursday and Friday on 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewing, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live beginning at 6 p.m. on Thursday from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark, and on Friday from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Got a lot of fun coming up this week on 102.5 The Game. Leading up to the NFL draft taking place the first round on Thursday night. Right now, discussing the NFL draft, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John from Nashville texting in saying, Azeez Ojulari, the way to go as well, has 3 exclamation points as well. So very excited about Azeez Ojulari.
Very good stuff. I'm sorry.
It's good stuff.
I'm sorry, man. This show is my life is invading this show. I guess got a FaceTime call from my daughter because I have to watch the kids get ready. So just bear with me.
That's awesome.
Let me see how this works. Can you do the FaceTime?
It's a modern day dad right here.
Here you go. So I am now. Thanks, Caroline. So this is because my wife's out of town for work. So we're letting the kids get ready for school for a couple days, and I'm entrusting my 10-year-old daughter to get the 13 and 16-year-old brothers going.
What an indictment.
Well, right. It's a credit to her.
Yes.
It's an indictment of them.
It makes total sense, though.
This is good, though.
I'm trying to think back to when I was 16 and 13. There's no way I'd get up by myself and go to school. I think I did when I was 16. When I was 16, I did. 13, there's no way.
Yeah, 13, that's a little bit more excusable.
Yeah.
16,
it's time to get up.
Now, to his credit, I just tried to call both boys during the break. And he's the one who answered.
There you go. All right.
So
taking some leadership.
Yep. So now I'm just looking at the house, making sure no one's fighting. Everyone's grabbing their lunch.
It's all good.
So anyway, what are we talking about?
Talking about the draft. Azeez Ojulari getting some votes on the text line as well. Vince on Twitter says, "Hope the Titans draft Quiddy Pay out of Michigan." What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that. Porth brought up the point about Quiddy Pay, is he a little bit more of like a 4-3 end? Sometimes some guys don't have there's a great draft term, scheme versatility, does he fit exactly in what they want to do? But, I mean, to me, if you have a guy who can put his hand on the ground and give you good rush on obvious passing downs in your sub package, and then, if he's playing up front, at other points, that's like, okay, so Deo Odiyingbo. So I got my final mock mercifully today up, and Odiyingbo is one of the guys I have the Titans taking, and that's the same sort of thing. I mean, he played end in the 3-4 under Derek Mason. So he's not necessarily, he's not really going to be an outside linebacker for you, probably not. He's like 285. I mean, he's not like a Landry or something, but could a guy like that still be worth having? I mean, absolutely to me. Quiddy Pay, I'm not against that. I think Pay, all these edge guys have their merits, and there's no – look, if you had a Myles Garrett or somebody, then they'd be going in the top five. There's questions about all of them, but I think there's a lot to like about all of them too. All the top main guys.
What do you think about Elijah Moore? I mean, TD, we've talked about it with him, and that's a pick that I think absolutely, if the Titans want to go that route at 22, there's no reason for me to believe that Elijah Moore is not going to be there. You could probably even trade down if you're the Titans. a certain distance and still have Elijah Moore there for you on the table. What do you think about him? Where do you put him if you're the Titans? I've seen some people say put him in the slot and let him go from there. Some people say, look, that guy is good enough and skilled enough. You can move him around. You can put him in the slot. You can put him on the outside. Maybe not day one. Maybe you got to have a defined role for him in day one. But as he continues to progress throughout his career, he's going to be a player that you can move around. If it is Elijah Moore, and that's the route the Titans go, where do you think he fits in best right now at the NFL level?
Well, he's a slot guy. I mean, I think he's a slot guy. I think that, like, the difference between the Moores, and we all know how I feel about Rondale Moore. But the difference, I think, is just that he did more in the Ole Miss offense, and he did move around, and he was outside, and he was a very good route runner. So there's a little bit more certainty with him right now. But I think primarily he'd be their slot guy. And I think if they draft him, or if they draft Rondale Moore, or if they draft Tutu Atwell, then that tells you they really think it's important to have a slot guy.
Yep.
And not just a group of receivers and you move people around. I mean, look, this offense has put A.J. Brown in the slot, and every offense does. They put their top outside guy in that spot to get a certain matchup and different looks. That happens. But do you have a slot receiver who kind of fills that role of, you know, to me, like Adam Humphries when he was healthy, just a guy that, you know, when you need 6-7 yards, you got it with that guy. So that'll be interesting. Like, do they choose outside or inside? You know, based on the interest that they've demonstrated with visits and everything, they've done a lot more talking to guys who are inside guys.
Greg Newsome, obviously a guy that I think is really interesting if you're the Titans at corner. We know that they've got needs at cornerback. And I don't know whether or not he's going to be there at 22. But another guy, as Gator Z points out on Twitch, if Caleb Farley dropped past 15, I could see the Titans trading up to grab him. What do you think of that? If Caleb Farley is starting to creep towards 22 and the Titans feel like maybe he's going to get away from him, is he a guy that's worth trading up for at that point, basically, especially with the injuries that he's had as well? I don't know if I would trade up for a Caleb Farley.
I don't think I would do that either, and I don't know that you'd have to. Again, this is where mock draft land, you take it – you read enough of them and you read along through all the pre-draft coverage, and it's like stuff is actually happening.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't. It's just the guessing is changing. But the guessing right now has Farley dropping low.
Yeah.
You know, even into possibly like early second round. So he's an interesting case because a lot of people think he's the best corner in the draft. So no, I could see someone definitely taking him higher than 22, but back stuff is troubling. So I wouldn't move up. I wouldn't move up for much. I think I might only move up if one of those three receivers was trickling down and it's like, ooh, okay, only three spots and this can happen.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen that happen in some mock drafts as well. Ryan Porth, going back to our poll question, which has Elijah Moore, Greg Newsome, Christian Barmore, and Azeez Ojulari on the table for the Titans. Of those four, which one are you choosing if they're available at 22?
Azeez Ojulari.
Really?
I'm going with Ojulari, and I kind of look at this with those four names of which player would you regret not taking in like 3 years, and I think Ojulari is that name. I think you can get a receiver in the second or third round, but there's no, they gave a lot of money to Bud Dupree, but there is no guarantee that he's going to be the same Bud Dupree that we saw pre-torn ACL, especially when a lot of his success in the last couple of years, you know, really heightened because TJ Watt on the other side really took off for the Steelers. So I'll get Ojulari and see if you can have a three-man mix between Landry, Dupree, and Ojulari to really get after it.
No, I absolutely agree.
No, I mean, I think it's interesting because, you know, you look at the move to bring in Bud Dupree, and obviously you feel great about it if you're a Titans fan. You've got a proven pass rusher at that position right now. Harold Landry, he should be helped out by this as well. There's still, like, basically nothing besides those two. I mean, you've got those two, if they don't stay healthy, and even if they do, like, you need some rotational depth to come in there as well. Like, I think there have been some people that have just been like, all right, well, the Titans have they've got edge rush figured out now with Bud Dupree coming in. It's still a pretty big need for this group.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you and, you know, you could potentially use all three guys too.
Sure.
You know, in your sub package. But, no, I mean, you got to have depth, and you got to have – you still, as a GM, even if you're in quote-unquote go-for-it mode, you have to think about what's coming down the road. And John Robinson doesn't. I mean, all those guys do, I think. I think most guys in the NFL think ahead some. And so down the road, you've got to have your next guy there. Is Harold Landry getting a second deal with the Titans? I don't know. You know, he's a second-round pick, so there's no fifth-year option for him.
Right.
But that wouldn't be a terrible combo long-term. Landry, like an Ojulari, so, whoever it is, I think you've got to think, yes, the number three edge and potentially a long-term starter should be chosen in this draft.
Coming up next, we'll continue the discussion on the draft. Get to some of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including some more noise around that number three pick in San Francisco as well. All that coming up next. But right now, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And speaking of the draft, the 2021 draft right around the corner, and FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new users up with 21 odds on Trevor Lawrence to be drafted number one, which is crazy. That means a $5 bet wins you $100 when you bet on the projected number one pick. It's the biggest lock of the entire draft. Put an extra $100 in your pocket just for betting it. To claim this exclusive offer, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code ROB. You can also make a variety of different bets, from top picks at each position to who you think your team will pick and many more. We're talking about the pick for the Titans at number 22. Maybe you feel very strongly about a certain guy. You can go that way on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Put on your GM hat and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to lock in your picks. Remember to sign up using promo code ROB to claim your exclusive 20-1 odds on Trevor Lawrence to be drafted number one. You must be 21 and older or present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. Max bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.